Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. Joining me today, like normal, is Juliana.
Hello everyone.
And today we're going to be talking about a new released book from this year by Adrian Tchaikovsky.
That's promising.
It's called Service Model. Yes, it is promising. I actually just brought up here the SFBRP episode list. So if you're ever wondering, hey, has Luke reviewed a book and you can't find it in the podcast feed? There's only like the last 150 episodes in the podcast feed. So check out the archive feed and search that. That's got all like 546 episodes, that previous episodes there.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of episodes. I've been doing this a very long time. But the easiest way to do it, so you can just look through it, is to go to sfbrp.com and click on episode list, and you can see all of these going, you know, 546 episodes back, plus some bonus episodes or appearances on other podcasts. So you can check those out too.
And you can sort them however you'd like.
And that's
title,
what I just did.
Author.
I just sorted by author, and Adrian Tchaikovsky, I've read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of his books. That's not true. Actually, 8, because I see Children of Time is in here twice.
Yes.
Children of Ruin is in here twice. Because we reviewed, you know, I reviewed
I
that
also
book.
Read,
and then you read it and we
yeah.
reviewed it again. Because I also, I think, reread it. Maybe. Either way, with two reviews there. So, and the rating is pretty good. Children of Ruin, 4.5. Children of Time, 4 stars. Elder Race, 4 stars. More of a novella, but, you know, a fun story. Yeah. Children of Ruin, 4.5 stars. I think I mentioned that before. The Shards of Earth, 4 stars. And some of those others, Eyes of the Void and Lords of Uncreation, kind of diminishing returns there.
Yeah.
There's also, what was that? The Doors of Eden, 3 stars. So you're thinking, well, one book is 2 stars, but the rest, you know, he's a solid 3 to 4 to 4.5 style, you know, level of write for me.
Okay.
A British author who is of the same generation as me and, you know, all these other British authors. Like the last episode we just did was Alistair Reynolds. And, you know, he's a bit older, but, you know, not too much older. But that style is sort of like, okay, British humour, British influences and kind of a sensibility with the humour, the references and the satire, which mostly fits my kind of vibe.
Yeah,
you know?
And also the use of language, the literary style is just enjoyable generally.
What I really liked so far, what I've really liked about Adrian Tchaikovsky is that everything that he's written is like a departure from what he's written before. Like if you read the The Doors of Eden is completely different because there he's going, all right, what if alternative worlds like Narnia or whatever, but science fiction-y?
Yeah.
And if he's doing Elder Race and some of these others as well. Oh, I just remember, we did the one of the novels. What was the two short stories? I'm not sure why they're not listed here, I read those, the Expert Systems Champion, I'm not sure why that's not coming up here. Oh, I must have not entered it in. See, it's searching by Adrian instead of Tchaikovsky. So I need to update the list because I think I've just entered. I didn't enter in his. I didn't say sort by second name or something like that. So I must have messed up. So I'll go back in and find that there. 3.75 for that collection of short stories. Duo of novellas and stuff. But that's completely different from of his others, you know. And
So also, I really like that, he's looking at different themes in every book that he's writing. And also, what I really like about him is his knowledge and his use of, like, biology and like, other
good
kind
stuff
of...
there.
Yeah, it's really good.
What I also like is, like you say, the expert systems. He's unafraid to just throw in references to technology and computers and all this other kind of stuff that which is it's kind of a, it should be assumed that look, you're reading this, you should know enough about the modern world and, you know, biology and technology that you should just go along with it.
Yeah.
Also, you should know enough about previous science fiction that if I'm making some of these references, you just come along for the ride, come along, and if you're not completely up to date with those references, it's fine, you'll still enjoy the story. But like I say, when we were reading Elder Race and I'm like, oh, this is exactly like that Ursula K. Le Guin book that I read like a few months ago. Like it's only that I happened to read The Planet of Exiles or whatever it was that I was like, oh right, he's doing the same, like this is the same thing, you know, from one point of view, these exiled people on this planet are, you know, in a, from one point of view it's a science fiction story, from uh-huh. the other point of view it's a fantasy story, yeah. and he's doing that. The only time I've been really disappointed was when he did this Shards of Earth book. The first one I was like, oh, he's doing like cozy modern science fiction where there's a team of people, it's a bit, you know, long way to a, you know, dirty unpleasant planet or whatever it was called, like angry planet, you know, he's doing this kind of thing, and it just descended completely into coziness with quipping between like the character, like in the main characters, and I was like, oh, it was just more of that. Yeah. It was fine, but a bit disappointing. So anyway, all that to say, this book, where's this going to fit in? Is this going to be a 4.5-star book, or is it going to be 3-star book, or is it going to be like a disappointment, like a 2-star book?
Yeah.
First of all, I want to say,
did you actually say what the book is yet?
I'm going to say, oh, Service okay. Model by okay. Adrian Kajkowski came yeah. out what's that, the I don't know, whatever date that is in American format. So yeah, in June this came out, so last month.
Okay. Pretty recent.
June 4th here. So I was like, oh, new book, I'll get to it. And I got to it. And it is completely different from any of the other books.
Okay.
So it's one of those weird things to say, like, oh, if you're going to start with Adrian Tchaikovsky, what do you start with? And there's loads of books that he wrote, which I've never read. You know, he's got this whole other, you know, military science fiction, like yeah. Dogs of War, maybe fantasy series. He's got loads of stuff that I've not read yet. So, but where would you start? I would say definitely don't start with this book.
Okay.
Because this is Adrian Tchaikovsky playing in a place where he is being far too clever.
Okay.
I've mentioned before, literary dick swinging. Oh my goodness, this book is right down that lane.
Okay.
And again, well, I'll get onto that in a bit. But first I'll say what it is. It's about a robot.
Yeah.
Who wakes up one day and murders his keeper, his master.
Okay.
And this is in some kind of future. You don't really know quite you haven't quite worked out what it is. He just wakes up and goes, why is there this red stuff all over the place? Ah, it must be, oh, it's blood and stuff like that. And then he starts dressing his master and starts like, well, the master's not waking up even though I'm dressing him. And sort of like, yes, and he's got this red stuff all over him as well. So what you do is you get this little fun in this like first section
yeah.
is a robot calling the police on himself. It's sort of like, I would like to report a murder. And they're like, ah, yes, Charles. You know, Charles is the name of the robot. He goes, Charles, yes. What would you like to report? You know, so I'm like, oh, yes, I report a murder. And so I'm like, okay, like this. And then there's this really fun, you know, it's this great, the whole book is like satire on, you know.
Sounds like Isaac Asimov.
There is, yes, there's references to first laws and second laws and yeah. everything like that. But really, it's very much a satire on like, you know, work culture and, you know, okay. only doing things that are in your job. And then like the bureaucracy of how things work, sort of like, oh, you can't call us out because I'm not doing this job, says, you know, the robot, like the medical robot, like, we're trying to ascertain if this person needs help or not. And then by that time, the police robot is there and the police detective robot is going, yes, but we need to we need to look at this. It's sort of like, well, I can't do that because I'm doing this job. And sort of like, and so he comes up, tests it, and says, yes, it's dead. And then the nurse robot leaves, and then they're like, well, and then turns up again, I'm here to ascertain. It's the same thing, you know, because there's these robots
yeah.
who are having this like diminished, all everything's very logical.
Yeah, and it's programmed in.
Yes, all programmed yeah. in, and they're following their jobs.
Yeah.
And so that's the first book. That's the first section.
That's a really fun setup.
And like, then the whole book is like this. It's all satire about current, you know, systems and the way it works and how people, if you stay within the system, it's obviously, if everybody only did what the system wanted, it would be absurd, and you need people to come and do other things.
I want to put in one thing that I just recently just read, a post
what?
Copied from LinkedIn, where a CEO.
Are you going to describe a meme to me?
No,
now?
No, but this fits so well. A CEO of a company on LinkedIn posted something about that they have started putting in place regulations for digital employees.
Right.
Meaning AI doing work. And then you have... And that is kind of like on our way to robots
yeah.
working with robots, figuring things out.
Yeah, here's Yay. The thing. As we go through this first section of five sections, let me just bring up my notes here. Yeah, five sections. It becomes clear that society has collapsed, but there's these small enclaves that have been kept going by functioning robots. And as okay. Charles goes out into the world to try and, you know, to work out what's happening and to try and get himself fixed because he thinks he's defective because he slit the throat of his master.
So there's still humans left.
Well, there's one fewer human left.
Okay, yeah.
And as he goes out into the world, he's trying to find other humans, but mostly is encountering like 99.99% of the other people, mm-hmm. quote, people, are the other characters in the book, are other robots who he's interacting with.
Okay.
And it's always very funny because they always say the name of the other robot that they're talking to.
Yeah.
So he will always say sort of like, the Wonk. Yes, because another character is the Wonk. The Wonk is who says, the Wonk? Yes. And they'll say, well, why don't you do this? It's sort of like, the Wonk? I don't do it. Like, isn't that good? And he's always sort of like, it isn't good and it isn't bad. It's just, it is, that is it. Like, it is. It
okay,
is. So
okay.
I'm like, don't you want to do this? It's all like, well, I don't want to do anything. Like, I have a list of priorities and tasks and I go through them, but it's not because I want to. And so the whole book is this like treat, you know, this, it's just a big treatment of sort of like free will, you know, all of the things that are always talked about in all of science fiction, especially when you're talking about robots, because you can reflect on what it's like to be a human via the outlook of like the opposite or contrasting outlook of a robot, in this case, Charles. But when he leaves, he can't keep that name because the next robot who comes to replace him, he'll be the Charles in the house.
Oh, right.
And so he becomes
just like the butler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, well, I can't be Jeeves. And so they say, well, pick a name. And he's sort of like, well, I'm not Charles. I can be un-Charles. And so he's, for the rest of the book, then he's un-Charles.
Okay.
And so when I started off this thing, I was like, well, this is fun. It's like a little murder mystery, but it's not a murder mystery. It's like a police procedural because...
Yeah.
It's not a mystery. We know who slit the guy's throat. It's Charles. You know, he was right there.
Yeah.
He did that. But so then he goes off to this other section. And so because for me, I was like, oh, this is very, you know, great. It's all satire. Like the whole thing is satire.
Yeah.
And it starts off, but it feels like very, you know, like Hitchhiker's Guide. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is like very British comedy satire.
Yeah.
And again, this fits with me. It works great. Like all of the other style, like I could list loads of other books I've read, which kind of fit into this. You know, there's a, you know, a little bit of Ian M. Banks robot writing, you know, who was the other guy that I just read before? I can't remember, you know, who was that guy? Adam Roberts.
Yeah. The real comedy writer guy.
Yeah, there's lots of these people who are working in this same, I can't speak and type at the same place. What is it? Daniel Rigby, Isaac Steele, and the Forever Man. You know, all of these, which are about people and robots interacting in kind of basic versions, which are like British workplaces and British politics and all this kind of fun British satire.
Yeah.
English-British satire. And I was like, yeah, it's that. And then I was like, well, actually, it's not just that. It's very George Orwell and very Animal Farm, you know, where we're like, okay, right. We can't take any of this. None of this can be real,
yeah.
Like on its face, because, you know, animals don't talk to each other. So so it becomes a lot more, especially later on, it becomes a lot more of a parable. It becomes a lot more of a, you know, not fairy tale, but what am I trying to say? It becomes a different thing as we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to the next section and it read out like the heading. And it's like these, you know, like these robot names. It's all like symbols and numbers with hyphens, like R2 hyphen D2, C, was it C hyphen 3PO?
Yeah.
And it said K4FK hyphen R. And I was like, what? So I looked through and I realized, oh, each one of these sections is a different literary reference. And I didn't notice it when I first listened because I was, you know, when you first put on a book, you don't always listen to like all of, like it's difficult to pay attention.
Especially if you don't read it. Yeah.
So the first one was KR15 hyphen T, which is Christie. So that whole thing was actually Christie, Agatha Christie. So
right.
Murder mystery. And then this next one was Kafka. And then we go into a very Kafka-esque style of weird bureaucracy where it's robots creating a bureaucracy for other robots to get serviced.
Oh,
and when,
great.
You know, they need to be removed from the queue, the queue gets too big because, of course, there's nobody actually doing the diagnostic and how that, you know, how you get around that and things.
So it feels like exercises in literary...
literary dick swinging. Yes. You can say it.
Yeah.
Very much so. Great stuff. The thing is, I've not actually read any Kafka myself. Like, I, you know, okay, you know the term Kafkaesque, yeah, in the same way that you can say something's it's Orwellian.
Absurd.
You can say it's Kafkaesque.
Yeah.
So while I don't get the immediate references to anything from Kafka, you understand it's a Kafkaesque. And then the next one is FW-L, which is Orwell. It goes into a fun, like, dystopian 1984 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think I wouldn't say that's one of the weaker parts, but it does feel like, oh, we're just doing a diversion over into this bit over here.
Right.
The next section is 80RH5, which could be Borges, Jorge Luis Borges. And this is a great... I actually read this. There's some short stories of his, especially the Library of Babel. And I read it for an episode of the SF Audio podcast because we talked about it there.
Okay.
And there it's a fun idea that there's a library, but it's actually just the same book over and over. But every word or every character in the book is then ordered differently. So every possible book that could ever be made is in this library. It's one of these like thought experiment... What would it be like if this? And so they go over to the archive, and the robots are archiving all knowledge. So they get other, you know, they get other robots, record their brains, any data that they can find, they take back to the library, and they're trying to make a library of all things.
Yeah.
Of all possible books, all possible knowledge is going to be in this library.
Yeah.
But like every other robot, they don't understand what the task is. They're just following orders.
Yeah.
To comedy, satirical effect. And the last part, which is kind of the bit which is then goes a lot more, I don't know, metaphysical or whatever, is D4NT-A, Dante, and we get our Divine Comedy.
Oh, we go to hell.
And he gets, and yeah, so that's what happens, but not hell. I think it's hell and then purgatory in heaven,
right.
And literally a character, God, turns up, which is like this mainframe computer, multivac kind of thing, is suddenly, well, not suddenly, is at that point made clear, and they're trying to, God is trying to give... the whole thing is about purpose, finding your purpose in the world. Uncharles is always finding his purpose. And he's like, well, I don't have a purpose. I just need to find some humans because my whole job is that I have to like fold the clothes of some humans or lay the clothes out and organize the... Because he's like a butler. He's not even a servant. He's not doing any of the cooking. He's not doing any of the laundry. He's just there.
He's like a valet.
He's very much a valet robot.
Yeah.
A butler robot. So he is there to be the human-facing servant, the one with the manners, and so that the human should never have to talk to the laundrette or the chef or the cook or any of the other service people. It's like he is meant to be the conduit, the human facing. So, but because he can't find any humans to be
serving. Yeah.
So God, the God robot, is sort of like, well, there's some humans who are existing over here. So he goes to speak to them, and it's sort of like, oh no, that's hell for him. That's hell. And then he goes somewhere else, like, this would be heaven, but like, of course, it's an unsatisfying heaven, and there's other purgatory. So he takes his own little Divine Comedy loop around at the end there, and along the way, he's variously accompanied by, well, mostly by himself and other robots, but also the Wonk, and the Wonk is. Someone he doesn't understand, he classifies immediately as a robot because the Wonk, she's wearing a robot mask, like the face of a robot and some like gloves and stuff. So he doesn't immediately, he categorizes immediately, that's a robot, and never recategorizes her as human. And so all the way through, he's got this cognitive dissonance of never understanding, like, the Wonk, I can't do that. Why? You are not a human. I need to find, you know, all this different kind of stuff. So this cognitive dissonance of a robot not understanding that his traveling companion is a human, and the Wonk not understanding that the Uncharles doesn't understand that they, you know, it's this like the whole thing is comedy of errors all the way through.
Yeah.
So that's the book. It is a series of five. It's Adrian Tchaikovsky playing in the worlds and stylings of five other authors.
Mm-hmm.
Agatha Christie, Kafka, Orwell, Borges, and Dante.
Yeah.
And doing his own spin on each one of those things. And I just looked the earlier today, or no, yesterday when I was making some notes before this podcast, it was quite funny to look through some other people's reviews on Goodreads, and they're like, oh, and there's these words at the start, and I didn't understand any of these symbols, so whatever, and just carry on with the review. And I'm like, ah, okay. So some people, you can read this book not knowing about Agatha Christie, George Orwell, Borges, Dante, or Kafka.
Yeah.
And again, I've never read Divine Comedy, but I have read, I just happen to have read the exact few short stories by Borges, which are talking about the same things are going in this book.
Yeah.
So what makes this book fun is it's the right, for me, the right level of literary dick swinging, that it isn't just references for reference sake. It's an exploration of these themes using ideas, or like borrowing ideas or referencing ideas from other authors to make it a richer experience for you as a reader, because you're always reading through the point of view, like third person point of view, of a robot who doesn't understand the situation he's in. Yeah. And so it's like you're spending time with an idiot going through the world, and you have to bring a lot of the, you have to be doing a lot of the work to get these references, to do this world building, to understand that when you find the George Orwell world, the you've got to go, okay, I really hope you've read 1984, because if you haven't, you're not going to get as much out of this as if you have read 1984.
Okay. I don't think I've read the short stories of the Borgia guy.
Yeah. Borges.
Borges.
Borges? Borges?
I don't know.
Borges? I'm guessing Borges. Maybe. If I was, if I could do proper literary dick swinging myself, I could, I would be able to know the names of this, and I would have actually read some Kafka, actual Kafka books.
I think I've read one Kafka. I can't remember at the moment which one, but I think I've read one.
Okay, I have never read Kafka. Either way.
Okay.
So that's
so
it.
Just a question: how big, how chunky, how long is this?
Oh, so here's the thing. This is, at any one point, this is fun. This book is too long. It is a 12 hours and 21 minute audiobook, which is about 4 hours too long.
Okay.
What I really like about Adrian Tchaikovsky's novellas that I've read and reviewed, mm-hmm. like Elder Race, like, what is it, Walking to Aldebaran, and the Expert Systems Champion Brother, whatever those things are, they are the right amount of length of text to get across one of these clever ideas.
Yeah.
Like, hey, just imagine this. What are we doing here? Well, we've got an unreliable narrator, or we've got these two opposing viewpoints, or we've got this thing here, that thing. And they just, he lays it out, gets to the point, tells the story, and is out. And you're like, you know what? That was a really good 2 hour story, or that was a really good 4 hour story. And this is a really good 8 hour story.
Right.
But it's a 12 hour audiobook.
Oops.
So each individual part, you know, like I say, there's these, you know, the Christie, Kafka, Orwell, Borges, and Dante sections. Each one of those, like I say, this is like a 12 hour book, which means that each one of those would be like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, or like about 2.5 hours.
So it's like a short story collection?
Yeah, each one. No, it isn't. It's definitely a novel, but it is in 5 sections, and each one of them has its own point of view and its own ideas, and they're very kind of localized. So that happens in that place. Then he travels. There's an intermission or a transportation. I can't remember what it's called, but like a transfer stage.
Yeah.
And then he's in the next place. And then there's another transfer stage, and then he's in the next place.
Yeah.
And I think either there should have only been 4 sections.
Okay.
Or each one of them should be shorter, or maybe even 3 sections and it be like 8 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think this style of satire and this style of reference and this style of, you know, like say playing in the space of other authors can outstay its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely found that throughout this book.
Okay.
So I reckon if this book had been like 8 hours long, if this had been an 8 hour audiobook or slightly compressed in some way,
I
would have given it an extra star.
Okay.
But it isn't. And in the end, the comedy that exists at the start, which is a robot is trying to work in the world completely logically, but it isn't working and is grappling with these. It's really good fun that the robot doesn't, like, it's got its own personality, but it isn't trying to be human. So many of these books, like the murder bots or whatever, it's all about, oh, we're trying to be human but not too human, and it's like it's always working within that. This is all like, no, I don't want to be human, I want to serve human, but then it still talks about, you know, human purpose and human life and human interactions. But that's very funny at the start. By the time we get to the Divine Comedy at the end. It's sort of like, no, that's played out. And there isn't quite enough other sources of comedy and interest for it to sustain for 12 hours. Where I think if it was an 8-hour audiobook, it would have been sustained. You could sustain that kind of one style of comedy, wrung everything out of it, and, you know, it'd still be fun at the end. But with this, the humor kind of outstayed its welcome a little bit.
Okay.
Well, it didn't outstay its welcome. It's just by the end, I was like, yeah, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, if this character. But there are lots of fun ideas in this. Like, I like it where, you know, the wonk is saying, hey, I think you've got the computer virus. It's called the protagonist virus. So you think that you've got to go on a mission or on a quest or something. Like, and he's like, no, I do not have a virus. I'm just trying to figure it out. She's like, no, I heard about it from somewhere. There's a protagonist virus, and robots are getting the protagonist virus that makes them have, like, free will and go out in the world and try and achieve stuff. He's like, no, the wonk, I do not have that virus, you know, all the way through. So
from his personality, he sounds quite like C-3PO.
Yeah, well, again, C-3PO is like kind of like a human facing, like someone that interacts between droids and humans,
yes,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And
does literally translation between species and robots and
so,
stuff.
So, yes, what else have I put here? Nope, that's it. One final thing is, I was quite interested to listen to the audiobook or the audio version of Walking to Aldebaran.
Yeah.
It was a novella. We talked about that on the episode that I did, the Expert Systems Brother and Expert Systems Champion. I mentioned it
there.
Yeah,
we did, yeah.
And on that, I was like, well, these two short stories, or these two novellas, Expert Systems Brother, it was narrated by someone. I said, oh, and the way he narrates is kind of annoying. But Walking to Aldebaran is narrated by Adrian Tchaikovsky himself.
All
and he
right.
does a really good job with it. And then I noticed back then, I mentioned that this new book, Service Model, is also narrated by Adrian Tchaikovsky.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you know what?
Is it good?
He's really good. Like, yeah. I mean, of course, it's his book.
Yeah.
But I've listened to other books which are narrated by the author. And they do a bad job of narrating their own book.
Yeah, it's kind of like miss and hit. Like, some people can do it really well.
Yeah.
It doesn't particularly mean, in the same way that it doesn't particularly mean that people who act, like actors, are going to do a good job at audiobook narrating.
I'm just saying, like, this would be a perfect opportunity for Peter Kenny to do an audiobook. He does quite a few of the Ian M. Banks ones.
Yeah.
Because, again, you've got to do lots of, you know, fun stuff, lots of travels, lots of voices, you know, the satirical parts as well, robots talking to each other. Adrian Tchaikovsky does as good or a better job than many professional audiobook narrators that I've heard. Like, many. You know, we're talking about the virtual voice stuff and, you know, that, like, the levels where you get those top-level audiobook narrators based on literally two stories that I've read by Adrian Tchaikovsky where he's done the narration. I would prefer he does the narration over pretty much anybody else for his audiobooks.
Cool.
And you know what? If he did narration for other people's audiobooks,
you would take that too.
I would take that too. Like, he would be, I think he's really, really good. I don't think he should. I think he should spend his time writing. I mean, put it this way, he's prolific enough. Like, he doesn't actually need to spend any more time writing. Seems like he can write for England. He's writing novels. They're just like, he's just squirting them out all the time. Again, this one is not a good place to start for Adrian Tchaikovsky. I would say start with Children of Time and Children of Ruin and then explore out from there. And depending on what style of fiction that you like. But if you like someone who is like, hey, did you read Piranesi but want something like Piranesi with all the literary references and, you know, references to other previous British authors or whatever it is in there, but you want it to be about a robot and it's a comedy and satire, and you're like, yes, I do. And you're like, great.
Here you go.
Here you go. Or, you know, that kind of thing. Do you like Hitchhiker's Guide? Do you like these, you know, whatever other books? This would be a good starting place. Whereas if you're more into, like, more straight space opera and you just want a crew on a ship hanging out, well, yeah, then do Shards of Earth. Or if you want, you know, weird biology stuff, right, yeah, then go over and do Children of Time. So just depending. And I'm so grateful that Adrian Tchaikovsky is in the world at the moment writing books, even though this is like a 3.5-star book.
Yeah,
like, it, I had a lot of fun with it, but I think it's in the end is flawed. I can't give it 4 stars.
Okay.
Or maybe I would give it 4 stars, but yeah, maybe 4 stars, but 4 stars is like a really high level book, and I don't think this is. It's
okay.
It honestly feels too much like a writing exercise for someone I know who can do better. wish he'd have put in like another few months of working on this book and made it shorter.
Polish it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter. Yes. It's exactly that kind of thing. Okay. You know, I wanted him. I think he's a better author than this. And I know because the material in this book is better than the book itself.
Okay.
It's one of those books which is at any point I'm enjoying it, but it's actually diminished by, it's less than the sum of its parts.
Okay.
So which maybe, is really weird.
So maybe 3.75 stars then.
Yeah, but I reserve those 7.5s to if you give it one the rating and I give it another one, and we can average it out.
Okay, so maybe I should read it?
No. Honestly, this book is seriously not for you. Oh, well, maybe you would enjoy it. Maybe you would enjoy it. But I'm just saying that, like, maybe now I've told you what literary references to watch out for.
Yeah.
You might have some fun.
Okay.
With it.
But I will see. Maybe I can find it in the library. If it's in the library, I might get it.
It's an audiobook. You can listen to it as an audiobook if you want.
Oh, like I say, is it?
Well, like I have it. I bought it. I spent an Audible credit on this.
I have so few opportunities.
I know, but it's fun.
Listen to audiobooks.
Okay, that's it. That's my review. Let's give it 4 stars.
4 stars.
Nah, it doesn't feel like it's one of those weird things. Like again, as I'm reading, I'm going, this is really good, but it did get bogged down. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, 5 sections, you know, like, and I went back through and I was like, I don't remember one of these sections. And it was only like, oh yeah, I do remember it. And I was like, well, yeah, that did just feel like a diversion. Like nothing really happened there.
Right.
It was just sort of like Adrian Tchaikovsky, like, right, let's do a bit of Orwell now.
Okay.
And it's fine. But then what I was expecting that to be a major payoff. Again, I don't want to go into it now, but I was expecting that to be a big payoff near the end of the book. And it's kind of like briefly mentioned in one sentence at the end. And I'm like, no, but that I thought that was going to be the solution. I thought that was going to be the answer. I thought that, and it isn't. And it's like, ah, yeah, it's Adrian Tchaikovsky just being a bit too clever for a bit too long.
Okay.
3.5 stars.
Okay, sounds
very good.
Very good
fun.
Yeah,
but also the literary dick swinging could have been tightened up a bit, less swinging around and just focus on and actually remember that this has to stand as a novel.
Yeah,
and it could have been 2 hours shorter. It could have been 4 hours shorter. Definitely could have been 2 hours shorter.
Okay. That's good. What's the next book then?
The next book that I'm going to read, I might check this out. Check this out. The Trial by Franz Kafka. I found it there. I did a search.
I think that's the one I read.
I did a search and found it on the Audible and also on the Audible free library. So I was like, oh,
yeah, great.
So George Godal, who is a very good audiobook narrator, 8 hours and 53 minutes. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to read all the way through this. I'm not even sure if it's good material for the Science Fiction Book Review podcast. But
it's knowledge of just like...
Yeah, but look, classics, literary fiction, alternate history, fiction, science fiction, witty and mind-bending. You know, it's right there in... Again, this is in the Audible section. These are like the sections that it's in. These are labels that it's got. It's got right there. Mind-bending science fiction, alternate history. So who knows? Maybe this is a book. I'm going to read something else in translation, I guess. What was it? All in German? Was it German or Czech? Or was it in English originally? I don't even know.
I'm Franz Kafka.
And now I reveal Czech. I know almost nothing about Franz Kafka except that he wrote a few books which weren't published in his time and then he died.
Well, I read it in German, so... but
I think it might be in German. Maybe the original in German.
Yeah.
But we'll find that out in a future episode. I do have some other audiobooks. This might not be the next one, but it is a next one that I thought I'd just mention. Because then I can use words like Kafka-esque without just knowing what the word is, but actually actually having read it.
Yeah.
So I can point out when something isn't quite as Kafka-esque. All right, there you go. 30 minutes on this podcast.
Awesome.
Thanks, Juliana. Oh, I normally go over. Let's just have a quick look here.
What are other people saying about...
Yeah, I always forget about this.
Probably
not many
people read it yet because
it's
so
a new book. And Adrian
Tchaikovsky
is like the hot new author. Or,
oh, okay.
Not new, but he's got a lot of fans. See, this has got 4.11 stars here.
Yeah.
So it's obviously Adrian Tchaikovsky fans have got over to it. Yeah. So rating and reviews, friends and following. Ziven got through about 30% of this and gave up. Tom rated 3.5 stars. Enjoyable and amusing, but I didn't find the final 2/5 as satisfying as the opening 3/5.
Mm-hmm.
Still, even my least favorite Tchaikovsky book is still very good.
Yeah.
And Margaret rated it 3 stars. This is an entertaining, if somewhat belabored, allegorical sci-fi about the end of humanity and the rise of robots, kinda.
That's good.
This is funny, but the jokes tend to be the same variety and get old after a while. Yeah, that's definitely, that was something I did. There's a lot of commentary about current society. It really is primarily commentary, loosely disguised as fiction. It felt like reading Animal Farm, but with robots. So, Margaret's just doing the same review as me. And these, and I already made these notes before I did actually look through these before, but I made, hey, it's about like Animal Farm. There's definitely a place for fiction like that, but it's not my favorite personally. The author read the audiobook, and it sounded like he was having lots of fun.
That's good.
So there you go. There's some three reviews. Lindsay rated it 5 stars, but doesn't have a review, just a rating. 17 other people say they want to read it. So I'm in line more with here with Tom and Margaret giving it 3.5 stars. They gave it 3 stars. Zivin didn't finish it. And I totally understand why people wouldn't like this. And that's why I wouldn't say this is a first book. It should never be anybody's first Adrian Tchaikovsky book.
Yeah, but it's one that you can get to if you generally enjoy his other books.
Yeah, get to it. But someone says here, service model reminds me of Tchaikovsky's Dogs of War. This is Zivin. Written for a very novice sci-fi audience, every concept is explained in exhaustive detail and in first person, which turned out to be a very convoluted way of conveying the science fictional idea behind the novel that the experienced reader got early on. And I see it as the other way around. Mm-hmm. I see it, the very basic science fictional ideas as a pathway, as a launch pad, as a jumping off, as a springboard for what Margaret said as well. Commentary about primarily commentary loosely disguised as fiction, and an allegorical sci-fi about the end of humanity and the rise of robots. That's actually what it is. So I don't mind that the science fictional ideas are kind of thin, because I never, that's like saying, but the characters in Animal Farm are kind of stereotypical or whatever it is. Yeah. Like that. You're like, yeah, but that's not, we're not doing that. Like doing, there's something else going on here.
Yeah.
Which again, it's like you're criticizing the wrong thing, but also I totally understand why someone gave up 30% of the way in.
Yeah. And somebody say the first 3/5 are enjoyable.
Yeah, and that's the same kind of thing. Yeah. I would say there's three strong parts, which is part one, part two, and part four, which for me are the most satirical, Kafka-esque, whatever kind of thing going on. And those are the first part. And then the part three, the Orwell part, are honestly completely forgettable. And then the last part, I think, is really good, but now we're going into circles of hell and purgatory and heaven via Dante.
Yeah.
And it gets very religious and lots of like religious references and biblical references, and of course Dante references. Again, having never read Divine Comedy, all of that's in there. But it felt like just a different book at the end. It's like, hey, I'm just reading another novel or another novella. That should have been
stuck
for me.
If
I would have just read that as a standalone short story, a novella, just that final section, the Dante part, I'd be like, great, good stuff. But yeah, it didn't fit with the rest of it. So a bit unbalanced. 3.5 stars. Let's wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.